Hey gang, welcome to a very exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, the home of free speech. I was just talking with Mark Dankoff. You know, Tucker and Rush Limbaugh, they've got to talk about the Chi-Coms because, you know, have it, the Chi-Coms are running, what is it? Twitter and Facebook, and that's why they're banning this Hunter Biden story. Because obviously, you know, Facebook is totally run by the Chinese, obviously. Mark Zuckerberg has a Chinese wife, so obviously Mark Zuckerberg's wife is running everything and dictating to Mark Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg and all these other Bergs everywhere what Facebook needs to do. It's obviously a Chinese conspiracy! But here on RBN, we have free speech, and we can say, actually, Jews. Also, speaking of Jewish stuff, do you keep kosher? Or do you not keep kosher? Or do you want not to keep kosher? Well, the Kosher-tified app will help you with all of that. It's for everyone. So download the Kosher app, the Kosher-tified app from nationalbugle.com. National Bugle. No hyphen, because hyphens are totally for losers. Nationalbugle.com. And you too can lead a non-kosher certified lifestyle. Mark, welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to be on. There are plenty of news stories that I have not yet blogged that will be up on our big board at nationalbugle.com this weekend, in addition to some great ones that are already there. Certainly the Hunter Biden Facebook, Twitter conspiracy, it seems, to keep the truth of Mr. Biden's activities with the Ukrainian government and with Burisma and with China out of public purview to the extent that they can. That's certainly a big story. We're looking at a lot of other things, of course, that we're also going to get up on the big board at nationalbugle.com here in the next day or two. So people are well advised to consult us on a constant basis, as well as some of the news sites that I listed, Mark Dankoff's America, as an alternative to Twitter if it gets much worse. Because, folks, today it was very, very obvious that Twitter has, among other things, put the big hit on the Strategic Culture Foundation and was preventing me and others from posting stories written by people like Philip Giraldi.
Really?
So I was posting on the Russian V Kontakte and then posting that link on Twitter and somehow getting around the censors, at least for the time being. But these stories about Hunter Biden and Burisma and China are quite clearly being censored. The Strategic Culture Foundation seems to be one in particular that they're going after, perhaps even more so than the UNCE review thus far, and that's very hard to believe. RT has also come under some degree of censorship for some of the things that they have published on Hunter Biden that are winding up in a lot of people's drafts in Twitter, because Twitter is obviously trying to assist the Biden campaign and to assist the New World Order in conjunction with the deep state. I think that that is an absolutely provable, fair statement. The amazing thing is, given the amount of pro-Israel activity that has taken place under the Trump administration, especially as it pertains to Greater Israel and East Jerusalem, that Trump does not get more of a fair shake among Jews in the United States and Jewish-controlled institutions, especially when the Jewish News Service has come out with a story in the last couple of days, which we will get up on the big board, indicating that 63% of people polled by the Jewish News Service actually believe that Trump is going to be a much better president for Israeli interests than Biden. Whether one buys that or not, it's hard to say, but nonetheless, it's obvious that in terms of the domestic political scene in the United States, that anyone who really observes this very closely at all understands that this whole situation with Facebook and Twitter and YouTube has absolutely nothing to do with China, everything to do with Israel and the Israeli lobby and the deep state and the military-industrial complex in the United States. This, I think, is clear when you look at such stories as the Jewish News Service release of some days ago, that some, I don't remember now, was it 300 or 600 Jewish organizations, Patrick, that had endorsed Black Lives Matter?
Mm-hmm.
I believe the actual figure may have been 600.
Yeah, it was absolutely the higher figure.
Yeah, the higher figure of 600. This tells you where it is, folks. And quite obviously, when you look at what has been happening on Twitter ever since this Biden story broke, you're seeing a level of censorship coming from Twitter and Facebook on this that absolutely betrays who it is that these New World Order and Zionist forces want to win this election. So this is where it is. And again, the amazing thing, the breathtaking thing to me, is given the absolute blank check that the Trump administration has given Israel in terms of Palestine and East Jerusalem and the occupied territories and all the saber rattling that Trump's Zionist advisors have been advising him to undertake with Iran. It really is amazing that there is that much establishment Jewish animosity to the Donald, but nonetheless it's clear that by and large that an overwhelming number of American Jews want Biden to win this election and Kamala Harris.
Yeah, so Peter Baynard, I've said this a number of times, but Peter Baynard, who he writes for, oh gosh, he used to write for The Nation. I think he writes for the Daily Forward now. He might write for The Atlantic as well. He's a Jew. I think he's born in South Africa. If he wasn't born in South Africa, his parents were South African Jews, and there were a fair number of South African Jews. But at any rate, he wrote a few years back, "Dirty Little Secret: American Jews Don't Vote Based on Israel," which he thought he was being very clever. But the answer is, of course, they don't have to, because both sides are always pro-Israel. And I used to cite the 2008 vice presidential debate between Joe Biden, I am a Zionist Biden, you don't have to be Jewish to be a Zionist Biden, and Sarah Palin, who were just stumbling over each other saying how glad they were that they both loved Israel so much. But of course you get to the 2020 election and, you can say, well, Trump can say he did things for Israel that nobody ever did before, like move the capital, move the embassy to Jerusalem, although, frankly, there was already a building there. It was a consulate building, and the embassy building was in Tel Aviv, and they basically just switched signs. But symbolically and legally, it had significance. In terms of facts on the ground, it really didn't. And also the recognition of Jewish law over, I don't think sovereignty was the term that was used, but law, the extension of, maybe sovereignty was used, but I think it was law of, you know, the Jewish law over the Golan, which is occupied Syrian territory. That was, you know, that's an atrocious thing to do, but that didn't kill anyone. It recognized what's been de facto the case for the past 47 years, or no, I'm sorry, 53 years. But it hasn't all been just symbolic. Obviously, Trump ordered the assassination of General Soleimani, which, that's a real thing. That's a real dead body, and that's something that he can never brush off. But, given the alternatives, what Trump has done, as opposed to what other presidents did, like invade Iraq or have a massive proxy war in Syria, I guess you have to take what you can get.
Well, I think you're onto something here in that while Trump's foreign policy has been a major disappointment to me, although I should use that term advisedly, because I'm not surprised when these Zionist advisors were being constantly picked by Trump, that his foreign policy would betray so many of his America First principles. And yet, certainly when you compare him with Obama or with George W. Bush, Trump comes out much better on that score simply by comparison to that low a standard. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I think you've seized upon is that if you have two candidates that in foreign policy are both Zio candidates to the max, then it would seem that in terms of these major Jewish organizations and the Jewish political constituency in the United States, which is overwhelmingly left of center, demonstrably left of center, that you would then start looking at domestic policies. And when it comes to social policies in terms of social issues, abortion, LGBTQ, and the NRA and the Second Amendment are clearly examples of where, in terms of the two major parties, there is a real divergence there. And that's, I think, something being underscored right now in this Amy Coney Barrett Supreme Court situation, where she's before the Senate now undergoing these so-called confirmation hearings. This underscores the tremendous difference between the people in the two major political parties, especially at the grassroots level, on things like that. So ultimately, it would seem to me that perhaps the Israeli lobby and the 600 Jewish organizations cited by the Jewish News Service itself, who have endorsed Black Lives Matter, that would suggest that in this particular election, Jewish voters and Jewish organizations overwhelmingly have decided that they're going all out for the Democratic Party ticket, which on all of these major social and economic issues is very much on the far left of the American political spectrum. So this is apparently what's happening here. And we'll just have to wait to see the way in which it plays out. The one thing that is interesting to watch, I participated in early voting on the first day down here in Texas. It was really swamped at the polls, and obviously I have no data in front of me to suggest which candidate benefits by that. The media wants to say that that the Democratic Party candidate and the Democratic Party are the beneficiaries of that. I think that remains to be proven. But nonetheless, I think we're right back to what you were talking about and have been talking about for quite some time, Dr. Slattery. The increasing picture that seems to be emerging here is of a likely the likelihood of a contested election.
Right.
That, to me, in conjunction with an unprecedented amount of stability and violence, even violence, if we can use that word very gingerly here on RBN, would seem to be quite likely at this point.
Yeah.
So I know it has been suggested by some people that either Trump would win in a blowout, or in fact it would be very, very close, and the in this whole situation with mail-in ballots and all the publicity that has come forth thus far about major problems with ballot security in different states. Franklin County, Ohio, is one that comes up. There's been some publicity that surrounds some real monkey business in the state of Pennsylvania, just to name two.
Yeah.
It really begs the question as to whether or not the American people will even know on the first Tuesday in November that evening who has won this election. And if a winner is proclaimed, what's that?
I said not a chance that they're going to know.
I think you're exactly right. That would be my basic prediction as well. I think this whole thing could well take weeks to navigate, and who knows what this is going to do to the ongoing instability of the body politic.
Yeah, it's a given. We have been, I'm just going to toot our own horns, we have been out in front on this regarding the prediction that it's going to be a contested election and what that means. And I want people to stay tuned, because we will continue to be on top of this. And a lot of people, well, there's a lot of things that can happen. I want to go back just a little bit to the foreign policy before we leave that. I was thinking today, as I was walking with my dogs, if it hadn't been for this Russia hoax, and the Russia hoax was pretty much something that came right out of the Jewish power structure. You know, it was who was it that funded the original Steele dossier? It was one of these Jewish money bags who was supporting Ted Cruz. I want to say Paul Singer, but maybe it wasn't Paul Singer, but it was one of these guys. And, you know, of course, you think of the Russia hoax and you know, the media, it was so much a creature of the media. And then the goy who were involved, whether it was John McCain or Hillary Clinton, they are agents of the Jewish power structure. And Victoria Nuland, the Steele dossier passed through her hands along the way. And so if it hadn't been for that, the Russia hoax, you think, well, if there was no Russia hoax, then General Flynn couldn't have been, he wouldn't have been forced to resign for meeting with for having not disclosed to Vice President Pence that he had met with the Russian ambassador, right? That wouldn't have been an issue. And if Flynn had stayed, I don't know what Flynn would have been like, but Flynn wouldn't have been Bolton. Bolton wound up taking his place with H.R. McMaster in between, and H.R. McMaster is kind of a nut job of his own. If that hadn't happened, if there hadn't been a Russia hoax, and Trump was able to make good on, because the Russia hoax, it kept Trump from meeting with Putin. Trump said he wanted to try to have a good relationship with Putin, and the Russia hoax prevented that. If Trump and Putin could have cooperated from 2017, the Syrian civil war would have ended. It would have just flat out ended. There wouldn't have been any obstacle in the way of a peace treaty on the Korean Peninsula without Bolton there. The foreign policy would have been completely different.
Exactly. And I think when you get into Ukraine gate, here mm-hmm. you have the American media spinning this in terms of this alleged scandal involving a phone call that Donald Trump supposedly made to the president of the Ukraine. Find out more about Biden's activities there.
Great.
The real story is Biden's activities there.
Yeah.
And the fact that we had an illegal coup d'etat in February of 2014 in that country, where clearly it was the Obama, Clinton, Nuland, Biden team, that all these people were the point people in overthrowing a government, folks, which I think was a part of the encircling of Russia strategy that is so beloved by the military-industrial complex and by NATO. So when we get into the whole question then of Hunter Biden, the amazing thing, of course, is that there were major stories on Hunter Biden and his relationship with Burisma. Major questions about both Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and Burisma, because after the coup mm-hmm. d'etat, Joe Biden was basically the American government's liaison to the installed government of the Ukraine. And now, of course, with all of this...
And Professor Cohen said that Joe Biden was on the phone multiple times every week with Poroshenko. Now, Victoria Nuland was probably really running things, but Joe Biden... everything was going through Joe Biden. He was a designated point man.
Yes, exactly. And so in that regard, among the many stories that we don't have up yet on the big board that I'll get up there this weekend, as you're speaking, Dr. Slattery, there's one that I'll mention right off the bat. Michael Rechtenwald, on the 6th of October, this guy is the author of 10 books. The most recent is called Beyond Woke. He was a professor of liberal arts at New York University from 2008 through 2019. You can follow this guy on Twitter for the remaining 5 minutes that some of us may be in that forum. And it's entitled At the Anti-PC Prof. That's how you can find him. But okay. This story is entitled In Backing Biden, the Leftist...
We'll get to it on the other side of the break.
Sure. Okay.
Make the world go away and get off my shoulders. Say the things you used to say.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
And make the world go away.
We are back. So this story that you were talking about regarding the Bidens.
Yes, a couple of things that RT has put out there that Twitter is battling to keep from real close public purview. One is this Michael Rechtenwald op-ed, and it's entitled, "In Backing Biden, the leftist quote-unquote resistance to Trump is perpetuating illegal U.S. invasions and wars and handing victory to the neocons." Now, of course, we'll get that up in the big board this weekend, but remember Michael Rechtenwald, because so much of his argumentation here, folks, presents, I think, a fairly unassailable case that the neoconservative Zionist crowd actually has it figured. Biden is their candidate in the same way that it was clear that Hillary Clinton was the deep state's candidate in 2016. So that's one story that I think it needs to be introduced into the mix tonight, simply in terms of contemplating exactly what's going on here and how and why it is that Twitter and Facebook and Google and YouTube are taking it upon themselves to engage, I believe, in a level of censorship of social media in the last 6 months that is not only draconian, but it's unprecedented in the history of this country. And this has gone so far that, as RT has pointed out, Twitter, quote unquote, censors the government, briefly blocking link to GOP page on Congress's website, which had a copy of the New York Post's Hunter Biden story. So this is just how far this sort of thing is going. And I noticed today on RT and on Twitter that another one that our Twitter's working overtime to try and keep under wraps is the story from the 15th of October today. Hunter Biden pursued deals worth tens of millions in China, struck bargains for his quote-unquote family, new email leaks allege. Now, folks, this, of course, all emanates apparently from a laptop in a Delaware computer repair shop. The guy who apparently for the longest time, if you believe his story, wasn't particularly cognizant of the fact that Hunter Biden was one of his clients, nonetheless has recovered a lot of this stuff, and it's now in the hands of the New York Post and RT and others. And as you look at this, it's absolutely beyond belief that the American public is being deliberately shielded from this information by these big tech giants. I mean, this is absolutely incredible when you look at the information that's in this story that will get up on the big board this weekend. And it even goes back to the day prior to that, on the 14th of October, when, of course, the New York Post publishing of these emails was being picked up on by RT in regard to this alleged influence peddling in the Ukraine. Now, you know, what? One of the things that's just unbelievable is that in the last several years, these stories on the Bidens, Ukraine in particular, China in more recent times, have been widely discussed in non-American media. A lot of people were aware of these allegations. A lot of these people in international media knew all about Hunter Biden and Burisma and what would seem to be a very, very obvious link between this lowlife's presence on the Burisma board of directors and the fact that his father was not only the vice president of the United States, but a significant point man in the Ukrainian coup d'etat that this country's deep state helped to facilitate. So no one is going to believe that a company like Burisma just picked Hunter Biden because of his moral character and his tremendous work record and his knowledge of the energy industry. Nobody can possibly believe that. There's prima facie evidence, I think, to suggest that there is a definite and felonious nepotistic connection going on there. Same thing with China now. And, of course, the more that this stuff comes out, the more that Twitter, Facebook, Google, and YouTube have upped the ante in terms of censorship, terminating websites, blacklisting websites, and the thing that most people who've seen this up close in the last day or two are reporting, including me, is that when you try to get something posted from, say, the Strategic Culture Foundation, this automatic message comes back and says that Twitter has deemed this to be an unsafe, unsecure website, which, of course, is a crock. But that, nonetheless, is what they're attempting to stage, what they're attempting to sustain, when it's very, very obvious that this is the most blatant brand of Stalinism in Stalinistic censorship that has gone beyond anything that we've seen in this country up to now. And you and I were among the people who were predicting that this would be the case because the left got caught with its pants down in 2016 when the effective use, legitimate use of Twitter and Facebook on the part of people like us was bringing news stories to the fore that were circumventing the CNNs and the Fox Newses and the MSNBCs and CNBCs and so forth and so on. That was not unnoticed by the deep state and by the political establishment that took it in the chin in 2016, especially a corporate media that was absolutely humiliated when Hillary Clinton did not win the election and when all of their mainstream media polls had them with egg all over their faces. So what we're seeing now, of course, in 2020 is what we've been saying all along, and that is that they're going to ensure to the extent that they can that the alt-right in particular, the anti-Zionist, anti-right, does not get its day in court of being able to bring its case to the American people.
Okay, well, we are up on the break, but we'll be right back. That's good stuff. All right.
Anytime you're feeling blue.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You say you want me back again. That's the time I'll come back home to you.
And we are back. You mentioned that we've been pointing out the coming of the censorship. And in my case, it's not so much that I was so clairvoyant about the tech sector, but I remember a lot of people 5 years ago or more, in the last decade, talking almost triumphantly about how the technology of the internet, which is so decentralized, is basically going to guarantee our victory. And it wasn't because of my understanding of the internet, but I studied the history of other media, including the broadcast media in particular, and radio. And radio in the 1920s was the wild, wild west. And mom and pop stores would have their own little radio transmitters, and they might transmit an hour a week or a couple hours a week, and they'd be advertising their own products. It was the wild, wild west. And, of course, if you think of the 1930s, you had the FCC come along, and the spectrum was dished out, and it wound up being dished out to these Jewish networks. But it took a while for the clampdown to really happen. And so you can think of the 1930s, and you think of Father Coughlin or other radio broadcasters who were able to say all sorts of things, but it didn't take too long. By the end of the decade, those guys were off the air. And so that's why I was saying, okay, we might have a wild, wild west of the internet now. You can't count on it. And of course, we can't. I did one more thing I want to say before I kick it over to you. I've got this article up in front of me, and I'll try to put it on the big board. It's not a big deal. It's from MSN Network, MSN Money. But these are the 10 most valuable companies in America by market capitalization, by the value of all the stock that they have issued. So there's five companies, the top five companies in America: Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, Alphabet, which is Google, and then YouTube. And then Facebook is number five. That rounds them out. Now, all of them, I mean, Apple and Amazon, Microsoft, they've all been given money to, like, Black Lives Matter. They've all been active in censorship and pushing, trannyism and what has come to be known as cultural Marxism. They've all been pushing this, and they're all, pushing Joe Biden and whatnot. But the two that were founded and run by Jews, as opposed to the first three were not founded by Jews. Who was the guy, the Apple guy? He was actually Arab. He was a Syrian. Steve Jobs and the Amazon guy, Jeff Bezos, he's actually, even though he has a Hispanic name, that's his adopted father. He is a Swede. And Bill Gates is whatever. I think he's just a WASP. Their companies are bad enough. But then these other two, Alphabet, which is Sergey Brin and Larry Page, both Jews, and then Facebook, which is Mark Zuckerberg, these are the ones that are most aggressively engaging in censorship. And it's not just censorship of you and me now. It's censorship of the president of the United States. It's censorship of Tucker Carlson on, one of a major news person. They're engaged in this massive censorship where they're censoring the government. Is that like, do libertarians think that's okay? Well, it's their private company, so they can censor anyone they want. And it really does, when you've got private companies censoring the president, it really tells you something about the power relationship there. I don't know if you or any of our listeners ever heard of the novel Jennifer Government. It was written by some Aussie about 20 years ago. But it's a kind of a dystopian novel in which the government is pretty insignificant, and people are about as likely to know who is the CEO, who is the president of the United States, as they would be able to name the CEO of, AT&T, or the CEO of, one of these companies. So GE or something like that. Okay, I've run out of gas, but I'm kicking it over to you. We got the private sector is censoring the president of the United States. Does that tell you something about the power relationship there?
Yes, it certainly does. And I think this will all be brought to the ultimate test in the aftermath of what happens in the first Tuesday in November. No one can quite know for sure what is going to happen, but I think we're entering uncharted waters here. No question.
Absolutely.
You want me to cover a few other news items?
Please do.
Okay. Red State reports that a Pennsylvania count 30,000 ballots. They say they'll review them after the election.
Which county?
This is Westmoreland County in Pennsylvania. Oh, now, you know what's interesting about this story is that CNN, not too long ago, published a story on Westmoreland County, Pennsylvania, indicating that Trump could only win Pennsylvania if he carried Westmoreland County by a very, very, very significant margin. CNN was basically saying that Westmoreland County might well decide who wins the state of Pennsylvania. And lo and behold, here you have a situation in Westmoreland County, and now secondarily in neighboring Allegheny County, where there is, according to the Red State people, a significant, massive ballot problem. So take a look at that story. We'll get it up on the big board this weekend, but that should give us some food for thought.
So Westmoreland County, that's Greensburg, and Allegheny County would be Pittsburgh.
Yes.
And then, of course, on the other side of the state in Luzerne County, there's been all sorts of chaos. And then I heard, I don't know, it was some Pennsylvania station. It was a call-in show. I was hearing it on AM radio. And the caller was saying that in his county, I'm not sure which one that would be, the mail-in ballots were not going to be counted by judges of elections, but rather by a private firm being hired by the county. I'll try to find out more about that.
Yeah, that is that would be a very interesting story, and I think it is a microcosm of exactly what it is that we're up against in terms of trying to have anything approaching a legitimate counting of ballots in every county, in every state in the country, in a timely fashion, which in fact would guarantee that win or lose, in a legitimate context, we would be able to say on Tuesday night or certainly by Wednesday morning who had been elected as the next president of the United States. And isn't it interesting with all of this supposed advancement in balloting, in ballot technology, and computerization of balloting, that we are less secure, it would seem to me, than we have ever been in regard to this entire process. And it has reached a point where I think, as Paul Craig Roberts has underscored it, this mail-in ballot thing is a major part, folks, of Democratic political strategy, because who are these U.S. postal unions representing? They're overwhelmingly Democratic in orientation, and there have already been numerous reports of people involved in handling federal mail who have been monkeying around with these ballots.
So did you hear about Southern California? I think Mike Rivero was talking about this on his show. Orange County, Los Angeles County, Ventura County, there have been these counterfeit ballot reception boxes that have been set up. They look like the official ones, and they've been set up in, I guess, in retail stores, maybe where else. They've been set up, and so people drop in their ballots. Now, the thing is, the envelopes, the way California does it, there's I guess a numeric code on the envelope, or maybe it's a barcode or something. But Republicans and Democrats have different barcode or different codes, and so those in the know would be able to, without opening the envelope, would be able to know whether that was a vote cast by a registered Democrat or a registered Republican. They could dispose of the unwanted ballots and then take the wanted ballots over to a real ballot reception box and stick it in there.
Exactly. And so as more and more of this sort of thing emerges, you know, whether you're talking about Pennsylvania with Westmoreland County and Allegheny County, just to name two, or you're talking about these reports coming out of California, this, I believe, is the tip of the iceberg. And we can all see what's going to happen, folks, can't we? In terms of court challenges and all kinds of accusations back and forth. And like in this particular situation, here you have a Pennsylvania county that says, yeah, we kind of screwed up 30,000 ballots, but nonetheless, we'll get to this after.
Wow.
Yeah, this involves in Allegheny County, I guess it was 30,000. Last week, redstate.com was reporting that 60,000 ballots did not arrive to people on time in Westmoreland County.
Allegheny County, okay, so 30,000, and is this that they didn't arrive in time, or there was some other irregularity?
Well, in this particular situation, ballots were being delivered to addresses where the addressees don't live there, mm-hmm. dead people getting ballots, massive scale of tens of thousands of ballots being screwed up that had to have to be reissued. I mean, it just goes on and on. This article quotes The Hill, by the way, this redstate.com article, and The Hill says, quote, the Allegheny County Elections Division announced Wednesday that 28,879 voters received incorrect ballots out of the 32,318 that were in the state's ballot tracker as of September 28th. The division said the mailings are being corrected and that new ballots will be delivered starting October 15th, with most expected to be delivered the week of October 19th. But the Red State article goes on to say that the problem that exists is that this issue was discovered not by the county, but rather by the voters and brought to the county's attention. Mm-hmm. Despite the county promising to fix the ballots, it still eliminates a great deal of time that the voters would have had to return their ballots to begin with. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, this goes on to say, this isn't the most alarming part. What is terrifying is the county's response regarding when they will be reviewing the ballots they received back from people who were not aware that they were wrong. Quote, David Voyer, Elections Division Manager, said that Election Division staff were segregating ballots that were received from voters affected by the issue and, in bold emphasis, those will be set aside and reviewed following the election, unquote. This goes on to say that Pennsylvania, last time, Trump won by just 45,000 votes. Mm-hmm. When you add the screw-ups in Allegheny and Westmoreland, you're talking about 90,000 votes, folks. That's more than twice the president's victory margin 4 years ago.
Right. Now, it deserves mention that Allegheny County, well, Pittsburgh is one of these cities that has been like pure Democrat for 80 years or whatever since the Depression. So presumably, I don't know about the rest of Allegheny County, but presumably it would be significantly Democrat. Westmoreland County, probably less so. I guess that's a swing county. So I would make this statement. The 2020 election has been effectively canceled. And it's been canceled by the Democrats. It's been canceled by all of these Democratic local governments and state governments and their allies in the media. They're actually their bosses in the media.
Who are suggesting that it's the Republicans trying to rig this thing,
it's
right?
Not the problem. This is the Democrats, because it's all exactly. Revolving around mail-in election. The mail-in election is a Democratic, it's a media Democratic project. And of course, it revolves around telling people that if they vote in person, they're going to catch a virus and die. And they've got half the country scared. I mean, this whole coronavirus hoax, it's like, it is a Democratic hoax. I know Trump is president, and I know Fauci and all this, but it's the polls have shown that a majority of Democratic voters are going to vote by absentee ballot. And this might completely backfire. I've said this over and over. This could easily backfire on them. But the fact of the matter is, I don't think the election is going to decide the next president. I think it's going to be lawfare and, media and all sorts of other things. Congress, courts, maybe even the military. I hope not. Riots in the streets. It's not going to be at the ballot box.
Exactly. And this, I believe, is the most frightening aspect of this entire situation. We've talked for years, and I think legitimately so, about who has been manipulating our elections for a very long period of time in terms of campaign finance is one obvious example. Ballot access laws in 50 states, that's another example. Corporate media being denied to third-party candidates, and that goes hand-in-hand with the ballot access laws that have been passed by the two major parties in all 50 states. And then you get into the issue of corporate money and so forth and so on. This has all been a part of the rigged game that's been building for a long, long time in the way in which, for example, the classic example of the American Israel Public Affairs Committee not having to register as the agent of a foreign power, right? These are all examples of how rigged this has been for a very long period of time. But, going back to 1960, when the available evidence underscores the fact that Joseph P. Kennedy's alliance with mobster Sam Giancana of Chicago carried the day for John F. Kennedy with all of the massive fraud that took place in Cook County, Chicago. The other place where the Chicago mob was able to fix it was actually in West Virginia. And in those two places, this guaranteed that JFK was elected over Richard Nixon. I don't think that since that time there's been any suspicion of anything that outlandish happening up to now. And I think this mail-in ballot thing and the fact that, unlike Nixon in 1960, who didn't contest it, this thing is going to be contested big time, even in the streets.
You were talking about the Kennedy-Nixon crooked election, and Nixon didn't contest it. And it just so happened that Nixon, as the sitting vice president, was the person who actually declared the election. He certified the election. It is Congress that certifies the election, a joint session of Congress. Richard Nixon, as vice president, was presiding. But coincidentally, it was Al Gore who was presiding over counting the 2000 election electoral votes. And it was he who declared George Bush the victor. And fast forward to 2016, Joe Biden declared Donald Trump the victor of the 2016 election. Yep. Okay, we'll be right back.
Well, in 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we met up with the British near the town of New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British...
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Couldn't catch 'em down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Well, okay, we are back. I just wanted to say a little bit of trivia before kicking it over to you. What's going to happen in 2020? I don't think it's going to be quite as magnanimous. What do you think, Mark?
I think that is the understatement of the hour, certainly, if not of the decade, Dr. Slattery. And again, going back to these other situations, 1960. And 2000, and even the hotly contested situation, the bitter situation in 2016, even that late in the stream, we were not seeing the kind of thing that we have been seeing this year from the time of the George Floyd episode of Minneapolis onward. This is a whole new era in political instability and mainstream media manipulation, not simply lying, but being in circumstances where, in conjunction with high-tech control of social media, they seem to be trying to tighten up their miscalculations on the power of social media to keep the deep state's candidate from winning 4 years ago. That, in conjunction with all of this stuff going on in Chicago, Portland, L.A., Washington, D.C., Minneapolis, and so forth, would portend, I believe, something this time around, the likes of which we did not even see in 1968 during the anti-Vietnam era.
Right. And I said magnanimous just now. I don't know. I guess you're magnanimous in victory. These people, I guess they were gracious in defeat. I'm not sure. So I don't know. We only have a couple of minutes left. There's going to be all sorts of chaos. Imagine what it might do to the financial markets. And I have said jokingly, but maybe only half jokingly, that I think any diversified investment portfolio would include lots of ammunition and canned food.
Well, that's exactly right. And we have to take our hats off to the owner of the Republic Broadcasting Network, John Stadtmiller, because basically with our advertisers on this network and with our Chief Stadtmiller himself, this has been something that RBN has been in the forefront of warning people about for a very, very long period of time. And folks, this isn't something that where we're looking toward next year or 5 years from now, or gee, maybe 10 years from now, things will be this bad. We're there, folks. And this is a very, very, very dangerous and dark time in American history as well as in world history.
And RBN has been able to avoid being shut down or censored because it is a couple of steps removed from these tech giants and these social media giants. But that doesn't mean it could never happen. We're less vulnerable than a lot of YouTubers or others, but they could come after us. And supporting RBN, it's not a guarantee that RBN will never get shut down. But there are things that RBN can do to resist. There are things that RBN can do if a domain name gets taken away. Having some money in the bank, if certain suppliers try to pull the plug, there are alternatives, but only if there's some money in the bank. So please donate. And Mark, thank you so much for coming on.
Well, I'll mention one article as we close for the evening. Take a look at Max Perry's review of a new book, which warns of the imminent danger of a Kamala Harris presidency. That book is penned by a gentleman I'm barely acquainted with, but a real nice guy, Caleb Maupin of RT. That new book of Caleb's is Kamala Harris and the Future of America, an essay in three parts. That looks like a critical read, folks. Both of Max Perry post at Unz Review at Unz.com. And also, I'm going to suggest that getting a copy of Caleb Maupin's book would be well worth your time and mine. And Caleb did not ask me to say that. And as a matter of fact, he contacted me one time. This was after the events that took place in Virginia that we're all aware of, and contacted me and indicated that in future times at RT would really like to give David Duke a 2-hour interview to really explain himself without the filtering of the American news media and social media. And that hasn't happened up to now. But this Caleb Maupin seems to be quite an interesting fellow.
All right. Well, we'll try to make that happen. And I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National News.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.